Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
I'm reading Jonah chapter 1 verses 17 through to 2 verse 10. It'll also be on the screen behind me. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep waters surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the land. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it is so good to be in God's house and to celebrate together. And well, if you've seen anything of the kids' series VeggieTales, anybody? If you haven't seen VeggieTales, your education is lacking. Then you might know of the one on Jonah. And the theme song, which has been in my mind since we have been doing this series by the band Newsboys, is one that resonates strong with me. It tickles my fancy because I love words, and there's great words in this. While I love words, I'm really bad at singing. So I'm going to speak the words out and resist the urge to sing. So just bear with me. It's on YouTube if you want to look at it later. It's a catchy tune. It'll get stuck in your brain. It's one of those earworms that gets there for ages. But here we go. "Up to my ears in bitter tears, can't believe I've sunk this low as I walk the plankton." Come on now. "Of the inner sanctum. Get out of Dodge, start on a bondless bon voyage. You said north, I headed south, tossed overboard. Good Lord, that's a really large mouth. I'm sleeping with fishes here in the belly of the whale. I'm highly nutritious here in the belly of the whale. Bad food, lousy atmosphere. I don't want a bellyache. How long is this going to take?" Woke up this morning. Now, you got to laugh at some of these, okay? All right. I'm not going to tell too many puns, although there's so many. But there's heaps here. "Woke up this morning kind of blue. Thinking through that age-old question, how to exit a whale's digestion. Might behoove me to be heaved. Head out like a humid comet. What rhymes with comet? I'm sleeping with fishes here in the belly of the whale. I'm highly nutritious here in the belly of the whale. I'm ready to reappear. I don't want a bellyache. How long, Lord, is this going to take?" This is a bit I really like. "End times, they come rolling around. Enzymes, they come breaking us down to the core. Good Lord grants we all get a second chance. I'm one of the dishes here in the belly of the whale. They say I'm delicious here in the belly of the whale. Lord, please make him chuck it all. It's a gut call in the belly of the whale. I'm in the belly of the whale. I'm in the belly of the whale. I'll leave it there. Let me pray. Lord, there are so many things that we need to learn and understand in order how to live our life. And we pray, Jesus, that some of those things will be revealed to us this moment. That we would hear your voice, that we'd know your way, and that we'd have the courage to walk in it. In your name I pray. Amen." On Sunday the 5th of June, just a few weeks away, I have some really important things to talk to our church about. One of those things is money. It's due warning. I always give due warning when I'm going to talk about money. Okay, so here it is. Church's money, your money, our money, how we spend it, what's our priority, what does this mean for our faith, and who it says we are. So that's on the 5th of June. I also have another long-awaited announcement that I'm incredibly excited to speak into that I will do on that day. Alongside of that, I want to let our whole church know that serving alongside of Peter O'Loughlin in our kids' ministry space, we are delighted to have Jenna Denholm on that team as well. So, yeah, exactly. That's what I think too. So both Peter and Jenna are in this role until the end of the year, and then we'll reevaluate where to from here. I'm also pleased to let you know that KidVenture is up and running again for these next school holidays. That's really exciting. Lana Menhurst is running that, and Paul Greer. Is that a surprise to you, Paul? You knew that? Yeah, good. That's good. As soon as I announced it. So good that you're giving leadership to this, Paul and Alana too. So lots of positive steps in our kids' ministry space. But today, of course, is about Jonah having been thrown overboard in the sea. If you've just joined us for the first Sunday, then we did chapter one last week, the introduction the week before. And in chapter two, we find this sort of poem or prayer-like part where Jonah reflects on his watery circumstances. And so in part, we are bracketed by two big fish. His entry into the fish, and I'm going to point it at you, this side. So his entry, and then of course at the end of the prayer, his exit from the fish. So we're at this moment living our life in between the fishes. I'm not going to talk too much about what happened or the veracity of a fish or how it happened or if someone can be alive in a fish for 3 days or not. There's a whole pile of really interesting, really crazy stuff going on about that. Why do I don't want to do that? Because we can be so caught up in what was going on inside of the fish, we miss what was going on inside of Jonah. And that's the point of what we're meant to be understanding. I do want to note, though, in passing, that this is not the first time we read in the Bible about animals and the created order obeying God. We have a few. Remember Daniel in the what den? Lion's den. Of course, we talked about that. Mark talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Ravens feeding Elijah, if my voice will work, and a donkey speaking better than I can. Over and over again, we read of the seas and the mountains, the trees and the fields praising God. It is if, so here's the point, the bigger point, okay? It is if the created order gets it, but the prophet of God doesn't. It's weird, isn't it? It's like everything else that's got allegiance to God understands it, but the prophet, who's meant to be the spokesperson of God, doesn't seem to get it. And in this story, we find the great fish doing the bidding of its creator, unlike Jonah. Quickly, we can easily find ourselves in the same boat. Well, out of the same boat. When we're talking about hearing the voice of God, it reminds us, strongly reminds us to make space every day to listen to what God is saying and being available for God to speak. Now, the truth is, I don't hear God speak every day. I don't know if there's too many people that do hear God speak every day, but I know that when God wants to speak, if I make that my regular happen, I'm in a place where I'm ready to listen when He's ready to speak. It's a good habit to have. And it's my goal and my hope that I'm practiced to listen. As usual, in this book of Jonah, we run into the faithfulness of God. It's one of the big overarching themes. God does not give up on Jonah. The sailors thought that Jonah had drowned, but God was waiting, ready and prepared. One commentary I read this week, I'm really trying not to do too many fishy puns, okay? I'm just putting it out there that I'm promising not to do too many, but I found a few. Because here we go. One commentary I read this week, and this is in a theological commentary, said, "The wriggling prophet is not going to be let off the hook of God's call." The truth is this, that no matter where we go, God is already there. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Wherever we go, God is already there. Somewhere we find Jonah's indifference brought to a halt. and just write about here. Maybe it was a sudden wake up of the water or finally realizing that he was in a situation that he could not get himself out of. Whatever, we see a rapid and complete change of heart in Jonah's life. At least it lasts for the next chapter, and we'll deal with chapter 4 when we get there. The larger part of this chapter is, of course, the prayer that Jonah prays from inside the fish. How many chapters do we have in the book of Jonah? 4. Okay, one whole chapter devoted to a prayer. It shows us how significant this is in the life of Jonah. So there are 4 aspects of Jonah's prayer that I want to bring out to you today. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to open up to Jonah chapter 2, and I'm going to see if I can make this prayer given in the belly of the fish applicable for us to today. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are of our own making. And this prayer relates to that, how we approach God when we are there. And then because suddenly we find ourselves that we've run to a spot that we realize we don't want to be in. And we know that unless God shows up, we can't find our way out. Because there have been many times we've found ourselves backed into a corner, backed into a spot between a rock and a hard place, in the belly of a big fish. I'm sure that's not your experience, but you know what I mean. So Jonah gives us a lesson in prayer. 4 points. Here we go. You've got to be honest. Whatever we think about Jonah up to this moment in his life, we have to admit that when he gets there, he is starkly and radically honest. Having been dumped in the water, what this represents is a turning point in his life. I know he has nowhere else to go. I know he is trapped, entombed in the belly of the whale, but so many times we are exactly like that, trapped in a position, trapped in a spot, and we deny reality. As if we just turn ourselves inside out, trying to do anything else but find what is real. But when we are honest, we open ourselves up to healing and solutions. In verses 3 to 6, we see that Jonah acknowledged his troubles. He has been cast into the depths. This is his language. The waters were overwhelming him. He'd gone down to the bottom of the sea, even, I love this turn of phrase, even to the roots of the mountains. That's how deep he went into the bowels of the earth. And barring another miracle, that is exactly where he was going to stay. And finally, we see Jonah getting with the program and grasping who he is and who God is. When we have that reality experience, it is so much better for us. I think the honesty for Jonah is a reversal of his denial. He's running away, has been arrested, he's running away of the call of God has on his life. He finally realizes honesty is only where he needs to be. Honest with the command of God in his life and honest that he was trying to play games with God. You know, without making any particular judgments on a person or persons or any political parties, you know, an election campaign does not seem to produce a lot of honesty. Maybe it's just me, and maybe I've seen too many over the years, but are things getting worse? It feels like it. Elections and honesty don't seem to go together, do they? The reason I mention this is because for us, we need to be really careful what influences come into our life. Because if we're seeing dishonesty in the upper echelons of Australian society, what should hold the line for us, it's easy to let it drift over us and for our honesty to go quickly into dishonesty. Now, this is especially true in the most intimate of all relationships we have, that one with Jesus. The reason I say this is the most intimate of all relationships is because Jesus knows absolutely every single thing about you. Which both is scary and wonderful, isn't it? That he still loves us. If we are dishonest, who are we fooling? The second thing that Jonah did in his prayer was that he confessed. That's part of a always part of a good prayer. Verse 8 is a very interesting part of this prayer, and it's where I get a sense of his confession. It's more of a statement, but I think it opens up where Jonah was at and shows us not only his thoughts, but the turning point in how he was relating to God and the situation he found himself in. Let me read it to you, verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. Now, idolatry, anything we put in front of God, so it can be anything that we put in front of God, and I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. I think here in verse 8, Jonah is saying that he has put things in front of God and is now confessing because he's realized those things that he's put in front of God have removed him from the love or the grace of who God is. Not that God moved, but that he's stepping out of it, deliberately moving himself away from who God is. That is why last week we pushed into Jonah being so indifferent towards what was going on around him. He was, like last week, just this sense of chapter 1, he's just so miserable. He's such a sad sack. He's so difficult to be with. He had this great big gaping hole in his life, and now he finally admits it, and he says, boy, I regret doing that. And he's reflecting on his life's course and his stubbornness to do with what God asked him to do. And I think he's talking about worthless idols in verse 8 because he's chased things that have now, in the cold light of day, or probably that's the wrong turn of phrase, isn't it? In the darkness of the stomach, proven to be futile, worthless, hopeless. And so verse 8, I think, is about him. It's about his lack of truthful perception. And so he confesses his futile ways. Do you know, here's a lesson for us. Being real, being honest, and confessing always gets us in the right place. And while Jonah was still in the stomach of the big fish, the truth is, his heart and his soul were right. Are there things in our lives that we need to confess? Are there things in our lives that we need to be real and honest about? Are there things that come between us and God? Those things that stop the relationship that God wants to have with us, stop the love of God being applied into our lives and overflowing into our lives. At the end of this moment, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to have this little time where we can be real and confess in the quietness of our own hearts. And it might be that we need to name some things that we put between us and God that are hurting the relationship that we want to develop. Third thing. Now, Jonah gave thanks. And you might go, what is Jonah doing in the belly of this big fish giving thanks? And we look at his situation from a physical perspective, and of course, we'd go, that's weird. But if we look at it from a spiritual thing, we can see what the changes, the huge flip-over shift that's taking place. And it's very different. Verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, so this is Jonah speaking, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I vowed I make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, that word salvation is used throughout the scriptures and it's all sorts of different meanings, but here it is, indicates to us a new realization in Jonah's thinking. Up to this point, it was about his situation, about his own misdeeds. It was about himself. Now his focus goes from him and it goes up towards God. And it turns from that to hope, to thankfulness, to praise. For what? For the salvation of his being, for the change of his heart, for the promise of salvation. And so he's recognizing there's something good, something worthy, something holy that Jonah could see and taste and feel and touch. And even though he was entombed, he knew there was something going on. And you know, what Jonah's reflecting here is a theological concept that is very simple for us to relate to. Because he's not looking at himself. He's focusing on God. On the hope that was coming. His heart is beginning to swell with gratitude for God and for God's saving grace upon his life. You know, a few weeks ago, while we were doing something in person, live or in-house, I preached a sermon pre-recorded sermon that I gave to our online community, and I preached on gratitude. Because I like gratitude, I don't know about you, but I think gratitude is such an underrated value and a state of being for us as humans. I like it in other people. It's good. I like it in myself. I love it when I'm living in a state of gratitude. And I really reckon God likes it in our relationships with Him. I raise that because are our prayers just ask me prayers? We ask, dear God, please would you do this? And they're right and true. We should ask. We ask for Karen. Well, of course we should ask. There's lots of things we should ask for. But if it's only just ask me prayers, we're missing out. Because we need to put some gratitude in there as well. Gratitude is a wonderful response to what God constantly does in our lives. And we do well to live in gratitude bit by bit, more and more each day. Here's my fourth point. Lastly, for Jonah, it's about obeying. In verse 9 that I read out just a moment ago, it tells us that it's about obedience for Jonah. He says this from verse 9, "What I vowed, I will make good." And next week, chapter 3, we'll see this enacted and we'll see him follow through what he has been asked to do. You know, the whole change of heart for Jonah has not just come about because he's in this big fish. I think that God used this moment, as God uses many moments and everything, to meet Jonah was where he was at and to help him engage where God wanted him to be. The good news is God doesn't expect us to be perfect at that point, but works with us where we are at. And chapter 2 is more about Jonah's change of heart than it is about big fish. I find this so encouraging. So helpful, because God meets us where we are, not waiting for us to achieve some sort of lofty status before him, which we could never get to. But God is so merciful to us. He doesn't leave us where he finds us, but moves us gently, wonderfully, carefully, bit by bit, forward and together. He takes us along and leads us into a better place. Jonah sees this and responds in obedience. That is always the best response to God's goodness in our lives, to obey. Lastly, and I wonder if this is the most important thing of the whole chapter. What we see in the closing verse is this restoration of who Jonah is. And I'm going to make a really big statement, because I think verse 10 is probably the most important verse in the whole book. It's a really big statement because there's so much in this dense little book. Let me read verse 10 out to you. "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land." And you're going, what is this crazy preacher talking about? I love that the Lord vomited Jonah on the dry land. Not just because the boy in me goes, "Oh, you beauty." I can see that in my mind and the mess and the ick of it. But because it says God wasn't finished with Jonah, God was restoring him and he sets him back up for a win. How good is it? Here is this recalcitrant prophet who runs away, but God is still patient with him and gives him so many more opportunities. Now, sometimes people want to say this is Jonah's second chance. The problem with Jonah's second chance is that what happens when he stuffs up the second chance? Does he get a third chance and a fourth chance, a fifth chance? The answer is yes, he does. We're the God of so many more chances. And I'd rather talk about the God of restoration than the God of second chances, because there is so many more chances given to Jonah. And we'll find out some of those in chapter 4. But this does not mean from here on in he has to be perfect, or even from now on that he's on his own. It means that when Jonah chooses all that he has done so in this great prayer, God pushes into that space and that grace and that mercy is imparted to his life, just like he gives testimony to in chapter 4. And we'll come to that in a couple of weeks. This means a lot for us. For we don't only get the same. We get the mercy and the grace of God that we saw there with Jonah, but we get it laden with the love of the cross applied to our lives. And maybe, just maybe at this moment, you've listened to this whole sermon to hear this last point. Because if you think you've made a mess of it, because if you think that what you have done has disqualified yourself from God ever using you, or even if you've done stuff so bad you don't think God can love you, then that's not true. And we see here witnessed in the life of this crazy, wild, silly, stupid, dumb prophet called Jonah that God has patience with him. How much more so in your life as well? If we confess, if we are real, if we give thanks and then we obey, it is never too late for God to work in our lives. If you are still breathing, the game is still on, let me tell you. The game of life that God wants to be involved in you. We worship the God of grace and compassion to us, to me, even to you. Let me say a prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can approach you, that we can come before you. And so we do. We come before you in humility, knowing there are many, many things we've done and said, things that we've been involved in, things we've done deliberately and with willful intent, things that have been, we look back on them and go, they're stupid things we did. We realize we've done so many things and they've damaged so much. We've damaged ourselves, our own bodies. We've damaged our emotions. We've damaged our relationships. We've fractured stuff that's so hard to repair. And now we realize that we wish we hadn't have done it. And so we come before you and we confess those things. So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to walk that way anymore. We want to turn around and we want to go a different direction. We want to go away from our own ways and towards you. And so we confess our sin before you and we ask for your forgiveness. And we know as soon as we say that, as soon as with sincerity in our hearts we name our wrongdoings, you forgive us. And as the psalmist says, you remove our sin from us as far, if we can get our minds around this, as far as the east is from the west. So great is your love for your children. And we bask in the light of that, knowing that our sins are forgiven. And we hear again your words to us. Your sins are forgiven. And our response is, thanks be to God. Amen. My friends, I don't know where you find yourself. Belly of a big fish in some other predicament. You know, I love the emphasis of that song. And I love the background of that song. The promises of God are like gold dust, aren't they? Worthy of everything. My friends, go in peace to love and serve our great God. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.